This is Gina Cressy. Today is July 16th, 1999. I'm in Bayside, Maine, and I'm going to start speaking with Jeanette Hook-Tardif and Marilyn Hook-Matson. Let me start with the most basic of questions. Would you tell me about your family? Where did your family live, and how did it, who discovered Bayside, and how?
Well, it was discovered mostly by my grandfather, Hook, who was born in North Sismont, Maine, not far from Belfast here. I don't originally know how he came to get to Bayside, but I do know a gentleman owed him some money for some reason and was unable to pay him. So in order to repay his debt, he offered a room in the original cottage we had. And so my grandfather took that, and I believe he and my grandmother stayed occasionally down here, although they had the homestead out in North Sismont. I'm not clear on that part. But gradually, my grandfather bought up the other rooms from the other people in the house and knocked out a few partitions from the smaller bedrooms, making larger ones. And then it was at that time when my sister and I were very small, we started coming down with my mother and father on for the summers, using the cottage.
Okay, thank you, Jeanette. Now, the cottage that we're talking about is not the cottage that we're in now. Marilyn, want to tell me where the cottage
is? Well, the cottage now sits on what used to be a piece of land occupied by two cottages. And our cottage was the Morrill Cottage, meaning that people from Morrill, Maine, owned the different rooms and came here to the old Methodist campground. And there were four stories in the back and three stories in the front, and as Jeanette has said, a number of rooms, which ultimately were made into fewer rooms but larger rooms. Excuse me. And there was one community kitchen, and every family had their own cupboard in the kitchen where they kept their dishes, but everybody used the same stove and the same sink. And not having been around at that time, I'm not sure how they arranged their time periods, but that was the way they lived at that time. Then my mother bought the Bucksport Cottage, which was adjacent to the Morrill Cottage, had them both torn down, and built the one smaller, newer building that now sits here, which Jeanette and Dick have improved upon over the years and winterized and put a foundation under it and whatnot. So what you see today is not what was here many years ago.
Do you have pictures of what used to be here?
Yes.
Yes.
Does the Historical Society have copies of them, do you know?
I'm not sure, but anything I can find, I'll be glad to.
Would be wonderful.
Yeah, let them see that.
Because I know whenever an old picture turns up, if people can't readily identify it, they'll go, for example, to Amos and say, do you know where this is? And every once in a while, something stumps them. So it sounds like you have something in your family history that's special. And
I'm sure we can find some. I know we have some of the front and the side. When the Bucksport was torn down, we were shocked at the way the side of the house looked, with just about two windows or three windows, and the condition.
Yes.
Mainly that original cottage was, you look.
Now, you're showing me here a wonderful picture. Who are these people?
These are family.
Hooks
and Wentworth and Moore. My mother was a Wentworth, and her sister-in-law was a Moore.
Okay. And about what era would this have been?
It looks to me like my sister and I are standing in the front of that picture. I would say I was maybe 10 years old, 10 or so, 10 or 11 years old, and that maybe possibly 12. So I am going to turn 70 in September, so you can see what era that was.
Unbelievable. So tell me your birth date, and then we'll ask Marilyn.
I am September 13, 1929.
Okay.
And I am April 3rd, 1931.
Okay. So this is indeed an old...
Mm-hmm. I would say that probably dates to about 1939.
Okay. And so this is a copy?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Now, what have we
this
here?
This picture is a picture of my sister and I at the back of the cottage, and in the background you will see the old original auditorium.
I certainly do. I certainly do. Now, what happened to the old original auditorium?
That was torn down, and there is still, we still try to figure out what year it was.
So it didn't burn. It was
no. It was torn down.
Was it in terrible shape, or was it torn down to make space for something else?
I think the condition was deteriorating, if I can remember rightly. It was not being used anymore, and I think they thought it was unnecessary. I believe some of the benches up in Community Hall at this time came from that auditorium mm-hmm. building.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised, too, if people wanted the view and perhaps instigated the demolition of it so they would have the view, that, in as much as the building wasn't being used anymore.
It's a sort of a shame we didn't have a historical society then.
Yes, it is.
It was a one-story building,
mm-hmm.
A large hall, so to speak.
And what were some of the things that it was used for?
It was for the church services.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then after that, it still existed after that era had ended, correct? Did it ever take on another purpose?
I don't believe
no.
it did.
No.
And I don't really even remember the physical building.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot bring that to mind at all.
Yeah.
I know it existed. I know it was there, but I couldn't tell you what it looked like.
Okay.
You were just too little.
Alden Battershall has a very, very good picture of that. In fact, it's framed on his wall, which came from his mother's house.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you remember it being there?
Vaguely.
Vaguely.
Yeah.
But you don't remember hymns coming
no,
out of the...
No, no. I don't really remember. I can remember sitting in the back of that when there was something going on, but I was really too young
mm-hmm.
to... comprehend
sure
actually what was going on
sure
but it was not for a long period of time because it was
you were too young to remember that era.
Yeah.
Now tell me where your family was living in your childhood.
They were living in Melrose, Massachusetts, which is a suburb of Boston.
Okay.
North of Boston, and we would drive up here, and it took us 8 hours to get from there to the cottage here, and it now takes just under 4 to cover the same road system. There was 2-lane road all the way. Traffic was horrendous, as you can imagine. And I can remember the first time my mother drove here in 6 hours, and my uncle thought she was crazy.
And what family members would be coming together generally?
Generally, coming up here, it would be my folks and my sister, and sometimes my cousin Amy Wentworth Spallett would be with us, and one or two summers, Mother hired a high school girl to come and watch after my sister and me so that she wouldn't have to be with us at all times. Her name was Barbara Gallant, and she spent, I think, was it more than one summer with us?
It could possibly have been. My mother's brother, Benning Wentworth, who was Amy's father, and his wife, which was our Uncle Benning and Aunt Ethel, spent his vacation while he was working, sometimes 3 weeks and sometimes a month with us. They would be mm-hmm. here. And Amy's brother, Benning Jr., would come down for whatever time he came through his college years and all. So we had quite a time.
It sounds like a lot of extended family enjoyed being here.
This Benning Jr. that she speaks of met his wife here, Dorothy Davis, who lived in the Dimity Cottage.
Now, where is that? Or what is whose cottage is it now?
That is now occupied by Harold and Andrea Heed.
Okay.
Which is right beside Betty Mills's.
That's right. It was called the Doll's House.
Yes.
Okay.
But anyway, they met here and they eventually married.
So that's a good Bayside romance.
A good Bayside romance.
Yes. Now, did you start coming as babes in arms or as?
I was a year old.
Okay, that's pretty little.
And I came every summer until I graduated from high school. And then periodically after that.
And would you stay the whole summer?
During my school years, I did, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we came the day after school was out and went home shortly before school opened.
Okay.
Since I was living in Massachusetts and Marilyn was in New York and other areas, I did come up more frequently after I married the first time. I used to come up with my children for all summer. Okay. Before that, when they were very small, I only came up maybe sometimes 1 week or 2 weeks while I was working. But since then, I have not missed a summer. In 1965, my family moved to Bangor, which made it a lot more accessible to us.
Gosh, yes.
And so we had weekends plus down here, and we used to come down sometimes to bring the kids to coast in the winter time and all.
Right.
And so consequently, when I remarried in 1967 in Bangor, and when we retired in 1991 or 92, we started renovating the cottage and making it a winterized residence, and we sold our home in Bangor at that time.
So you met Dick in Bangor?
Yes.
And was he familiar with Bayside?
No. He didn't even know existed, and I will tell you, the first time I brought him down here in February, he looked at this very desolate place saying, "Who in God's world would ever want to live here?"
Famous
now,
last words.
I have a very hard time of getting him out of here.
I have never been here in the winter.
Now, that's interesting, because you've always lived further away.
That's right.
Where besides Illinois have you lived?
I lived in New York State, various places in New York State after I was married, and moved to Illinois, and I've lived in Illinois since 1968.
Wow, and where did you meet your husband?
In Illinois.
In Illinois. Oh, so you moved there first. Now, tell me about your children and how often they like to come here.
Well, of course, my children living locally, we moved to Bangor when my son was about 12 and my daughter was just turned 10 when we moved here. So they've been here, and of course they were here when we lived in Massachusetts and spent the summer growing up, and they remember the sailing school programs and all that. Then, of course, we were weekend all during their school year from Bangor through high school and all. And now that they are working and married, they get down as often as they can. But my son lives in Belfast now, so he's back and forth, and he's lived in Belfast for about 11 years, I guess 10 years anyway. And my daughter lives in Glenbrook, right outside of Bangor, and she gets down as often as she possibly can. And that's not enough.
I understand that. And how about you?
Well, of course, my children came here on vacation when they were little. Mm-hmm. When we lived in New York, we would come here for 2 weeks every summer. And then when we moved to Illinois, it wasn't quite that feasible. And my daughter was back 2 years ago and brought her husband and two children. And the last time my son was here was about 11 years ago, I think, and he unfortunately passed away 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But they always loved it, had fond memories. In
fact, were you able to get pictures of all the different generations that have been here?
Oh, we have various pictures off and on, yes.
Yeah.
We last, 2 years ago when my daughter was here, we took a picture of all the cousins and their children together on the couch. And that was kind of fun to see them together.
I bet. Now, there seems to me quite a few people who are still around now who must have been youngsters when you were youngsters.
Oh, yes.
Tell me who those people are.
Well, let's see. There's Eleanor James Lagner, Arnie Crossgill.
What's her name? Merrithew.
Merrithew. Don Knott. Joe and Zelma.
Yeah.
Joanne and Coughlin and Mary Ellen Connors, as she is now. They were the short girls. Not short in stature. The Lane was short.
Tall.
Yeah.
Ralph Robinson.
Yes, he was here.
How about Adelaide Lincoln?
Oh, Adelaide,
yes.
We what was her maiden name?
Barrack.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. No, Barrack.
Okay. We used to go down, when I was here for the summers, we always all went down and sat on the beach and with all our children. And when Adelaide would say, "Come on, girls," half the beach cleared up.
Well, and then there was Freddie.
Yes, that's Freddie, yeah, but at that point. Gene Witherell.
Gene Witherell. Okay.
And Bob.
And Bob.
Yeah, okay. They've been long-time people.
Betty Chittick.
Betty Chittick, yes, when her mother was on the hotel. Mm-hmm. I remember Betty. Betty was here with her children when our children were
Claire and Alden.
Of course.
Mm-hmm. Alden Battershaw and Claire, his sister.
Doesn't it seem like, given the small population base of this little village, a remarkable number of 70-ish people to be?
I think there's a lot of generation people mm-hmm. here.
Yeah. I think it's one of the nice things about this.
Another one is Reverend Morrill Matin's two children.
Okay.
They were in our park here for this, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they would be a younger generation than we are, aren't they? Nancy, she's more your Steve's age.
It's true. Mm-hmm.
So when you were kids, tell me some of the things you used to enjoy doing in Bayside. What's different and what's
well, that? For one thing, we went into the water every day, rain or shine, cold, hot, and never seemed to mind it. And now I don't even put my big toe in it without freezing.
One thing we had as we were growing up were shows. We had good minstrel shows where we all acted in those. Of course, you can't do that now. But Arnie Crossgill, her father was an endman along with Mr. Mulvaney. And if there was two different people, they were them. One was very small in stature and very slim, and the other was fairly tall and very stocky, and he had a robust laugh that you could hear from the dock anywhere in Bayside. And Mr. Crossgill was very quiet, but very, very dry sense of humor. He always had an imaginary dog that he had coming into the store and hold the door open for us that amused everybody at no end, believe me. These minstrel shows used to run for two nights because the audience was very, very attentive. And we had blacked up, and the local people were talented, and a lot of them sang, and a lot of them put on different acts. We did other shows, too. I can remember Jackie Gagin doing Ahab the Arab. And the Bryant girls singing Three Little Fishies. And the Adelaide Lincoln's kids singing about something about what they wanted to do when they grew up. I think it was around. But we had good talent.
So this was as recently as not just when you were kids, but when Adelaide had kids. Is that what you're
right.
saying?
Right. Yeah.
So it lasted a full generation.
Yeah, I think it did.
I think that the younger generation did not do minstrel shows. They did what I would term a variety show. Mm-hmm. The minstrel show, I think, was strictly our time period.
Another thing in our time period, we had dances. And this is when some of the Marian Eaton's group were here.
Mm-hmm.
And we always had dances. At that time, Eleanor Fuller's husband was in the service. And my mother and Eleanor used to run the old jukebox that was up there. They could do it manually, which gave us the music. And we danced. And at the end of the season, we had a formal dance, believe it or not. And the girls wore formal dresses, and the boys all escorted the girls, and we all had corsages, whether it was from a florist or the local gardens, and it was a very, very fancy affair. It's something we looked forward to.
Now, did you go as couples with dates, or could anyone dress up?
Oh, anybody could go, but it was kind of special if you had a fella take you.
Yes. Now, do you know if anyone has pictures of themselves dressed up for
I don't think so. Of course, that was during the war, and film and whatnot was not as available.
Right.
And, of course, it was just black and white. It just, people didn't take pictures as much then as as people do today.
You're right, but it would be fun to see all of you folks dressed up.
It would be a lot of fun.
It would be a real hoot.
Don Knott's brother and sister were active at that time in the area.
Mm-hmm.
So these shows, how much adult involvement was there in producing it? Would there be different parents taking turns, or would it be pretty much the same parents who enjoyed doing that particular thing?
I don't know that it was as much parents as it was talented individuals who would choreograph and pick out the music. And
so they weren't just doing it to give kids something to do. It was something that they enjoyed as well.
It was a community endeavor.
And then the people who came to see it, were they all Baysiders, or was it advertised in Belfast as well?
Oh, no, they were bulk Baysiders because at that point gas rationing was very strong, and we were very limited in car usage. I mean, everybody was here when they were here. That you just didn't get out much except to go to up to Belfast to do your groceries. Most of the time when people came down, they came down for the summer, so this was where we did our thing.
Right. Now, were there any wagons that still came through here selling things?
Yes.
What would that have been?
Well, we had a lady always dressed in black. She and her husband came in a little horse-drawn wagon, and they would have their vegetables from their garden, berries. Thing they would come through. Of course, you got to realize it was very minimal traffic at that time through here. Also through here, Cushman's Bakery came to sell their goods. They were very prominent. The milk was delivered in the milk trucks. We had a lady who used to come around selling her berries, and she'd come up to the door, yoo-hoo inside all the time. Because we had our character garbage collector who was around, Jack. So, I mean, we were, the ice man. I can remember Mr. Drinkwater coming to deliver the ice. So we were serviced quite a bit because we were here.
You needed to be.
Yes.
Were there movies in Belfast at the time?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, and if you went to the movies in the evening, you always were scared out of your seat when the curfew blew.
Oh, tell me about that.
Well, there was a 9 o'clock curfew, and the curfew would blow loud and clear up there in Belfast. And
what was it for?
You had to be in off the streets if you were underage.
I believe so. That rang on the firehouse, which is right across the street from the local theater. And actually, you could hear that from down here.
Anything to do with the war, or was this just a regular behavior of teenagers?
I really don't know. I really do not know the exact purpose of that curfew. But even though you knew it was coming every night, it never failed to startle you.
Gosh. Now, did you observe blackout regulations?
Well, I think pretty much the whole East Coast observed that.
Mm-hmm. So can you remember coming into your cottage and having people here did have blackout shades?
I remember that at home, but I do not remember blackout shades down here. But I do remember you didn't see all the lights across the bay that you can see today.
Mm-hmm. And were there no street lights?
Street lights, as I recall, had their shades bent down so that the light went more straight down.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that brought the war closer to us is the Coast Guard was out here cruising this bay all the time. And they always made a stop into Bayside. And, of course, all of us, well, a good portion of us kids always made sure that we had a plate of cookies to take down or some brownies or something. And they did let us go aboard. And some girls made sure they had their skimpiest bathing suits on. And we enjoyed those fellows coming in, and I'm sure they did too, but they were around for military purposes to scan, because there was an ammunition over at Searsport. They called it an ammunition port. So we had heard that there was subs that got up through here, but they were scanning that. Yeah.
Now, with two attractive young daughters, how did your parents rate on the scale from strictness to laxness about what they let you to get away with?
I don't think in those days you got away with anything, because behavior was different in those days.
Mm-hmm.
But my mother always had the door open for everybody, and she never minded how many kids came in, never here or at home. She always said, "That way I know where my girls are." And we had an absolute host of friends, not necessarily boyfriends, but they all came to our house.
That must have been very nice for her and for you as well.
Yes, because we go back, and we just had our 50th high school reunion last fall, and all the boys talk about going to our house.
That's nice memories to,
yes, it
to
is.
Give people. And in the evening in Bayside, what are some of the things you might do? Gather at somebody's house and listen to music, or kind of wander around?
We always went for long walks. When my aunt and uncle here, they had a dog, and we had a dog, and we took the dogs out. They used to walk on the golf course. I don't know how much the golf course appreciated, but the dogs loved it. When we came back, as Marilyn said, our house had 4 stories in the back and 3 in the front. Well, it got so that when we got closer to home, one would race to get in the house because it was dark now. And this house had many rooms and many corners. And it got so that it was very nerve-wracking to walk in the house after someone had come in, because you never knew where that person was.
What might that person do?
Oh, yes. And you pray that you found a light switch before, and which most of those were strings, before the person vocally attacked you. When you we also had a game called hide and seek, I guess, because we used to just hide around and try to find. And in those days, you know, our cottage was very primitive, and I think most of the neighbors knew what we were doing. Because we were playing once when the lights would go on one room, and then they would come off and go on another room, and come off and go on another room. And we had neighbors sitting on the porch, betting which light would come on next. And then when they finally went off, they all applauded.
We also used to play cards a lot. We used to, when our whole family would be together, we'd play cancellation hearts, which is the regular hearts game, only it's played with 2 decks of cards.
Oh.
And your card would cancel out the other, so you might be stuck with the queen of spades, but if somebody came along and canceled that out, then the next highest card would get the whole mess. Those got kind of uproaring.
Yes.
And I don't know. We did a lot of reading, and of course there was no such thing as television.
Absolutely not. What about boating? Were there boaters in
your family? Well, we had the sailing school right here in our backyard, of course. Mm-hmm. We did not do any boating as young people. We didn't have a boat, and we never felt the urge to go to the sailing school.
Sure.
Because it just, we had our own fun here.
And, sure.
But in the evening, that was another thing. We were with the sailing school people. Mm-hmm. Just whatever activities they were in, we kind of entered in with them. And
sounds like an active social life for young people.
Mm-hmm.
The Bryants had boats, and we used to go sailing and riding with them. Occasionally, when the oldest girl, Joan, got so that she was able and allowed to handle a boat by herself, we might go out for a sail,
mm-hmm.
just locally here. And sometimes we slept overnight on her grandfather's boat, which was a big deal, because we'd always come in real early and walk around in our pajamas.
And that must have been fun.
It was very not as populated, as I said.
Clearly. So you have this big, wonderful cottage filled with family and friends coming around. Picture yourself back in that kitchen. And as we look around this lot, and we see the dishwasher and the electric stove and the bread maker, it's a wonderful kitchen. Tell me what's different about the kitchen that you
grew up with. Hot water.
Hot water.
We had no hot water.
What did you do?
We heated the water on the stove.
What kind of a stove was it?
A wood-burning stove.
So it started with, in the morning, whose job was it to?
No, we didn't always.
No.
We sometimes would heat the kettle on the little two-burner electric hot plate type thing.
Okay.
When it was warm like this, of course, we didn't have a fire. We had to heat our water to do dishes.
Okay.
And clothes, you know, that I can't imagine my mother doing this. She had a little washing machine that sat on the counter.
Uh-huh.
And she'd do the clothes in that and hang them out to dry.
And you say ice was delivered, so.
Ice was delivered in the back. The kitchen was large, and it got so underneath the living room and the front porch, and there was the old ice box underneath there, which we had ice in there. The first refrigerator we got was one of those with those big wired things around the top.
I remember
that. Well, that was quite a production when we got that refrigerator. The sink was one of those cast iron black sinks with just a faucet coming into it.
Mm-hmm.
On rainy days was one of the nicest times we had the fire going downstairs. It was the only place there was any heat in the whole house, and we used to gather around the kitchen table and did our own individual things. Marilyn and I did a lot of coloring, and we were two kids that played for a long time with paper dolls, and we created several situations. One of the rooms right above the kitchen was a small room, and that was fairly empty. Mother used to store the trunk that brought all the clothes down in it that was sent by Railroad Express.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to set up that as a sort of a room where we set up our paper dolls and where we could leave them.
Mm-hmm.
And we did play a lot of things like that.
Do you remember who the paper dolls were? Were they any famous?
Oh, I think a lot of them were movie stars. The ones that, do you remember Tina and Tony, the twins?
Well, the ones that I remember the most is Diana Durbin. She had a host of clothes, and we had all sorts of.
Then I can remember we each would have the same coloring book. She would have hers, I would have mine, but they'd be the same, and would color a picture, then would make my mother say which one was best. Oh, poor mother.
Yeah. And then we used to make fudge a lot, too, on a bad day. And of course, there were a lot of times when my cousin Amy was here, so that kept activities going quite a bit on these nights and days.
Were the three of you able to get along
well? Oh, yes. Oh, yes, always.
Well, Amy is just exactly 10 years older than I am, so she was more like a
older sister.
Or an aunt.
Yes.
Well, not an aunt, but more more almost like a babysitter to us. I mean,
sure.
She, of course, was not a babysitter, but she kept us entertained.
Yes.
You know.
She's still pretty entertaining.
She is still very entertaining, yes.
Yeah.
But going back to this making fudge, we generally did that with the James family because sugar was rationed. And so our family would contribute half the sugar, and their family would contribute half the sugar, and then we'd share the fudge.
So there were really a number of ways in which the war affected life here.
Yes.
One of the ways we got a stamps to buy extra gas for the trip up from Massachusetts was because my grandparents out in North Sisland had a large vegetable garden, and you were allowed to, for that reason, for getting food or canning food or being able to procure food, you were allowed a little extra gas.
Okay.
They called it a victory garden.
Yeah, victory garden.
I've heard that term, but did the people have them here in Bayside?
If they did, they would have been up on the back road, and we perhaps didn't know about them. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure people, I think everybody who could, had a garden, because canned goods were rationed.
Yeah.
Mm.
Interesting to think of the way we used to go up to the grocery store. The big store was then the First National, and it had its own department. You went to the meat and fish department and ordered what you wanted. Then you went over to where the canned goods are, and there was a man who stood behind the counter, and you said, well, I would like a can of beets, and I'd like a can of pineapple, or whatever, and he would go and get it and bring your order down. Then you'd pay for your groceries there, and then you'd move on to the produce department, which was at the front of the store, and buy your produce and pay for your produce there.
In the same way, by saying what you wanted?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, the produce was in bushel baskets and whatnot, so you pretty much could pick out, and they would weigh it up for you and mark it for you.
That's very different. Now, were there still a couple of little stores in Bayside at the time?
Well, there was Hastings, of course, which is the store that carried primarily, I would say, the most what do I want to say? They had the biggest inventory of food. Mm-hmm. And then there was the store down in the old post office, Tuttle's. Mm-hmm. And you could get ice cream and crackers and cookies and things like that, but they never carried meat.
Mr. Hastings always had a cooler, so he had like hamburg and hot dogs and maybe a piece of steak now and then, but no big selection.
So you could go a pretty long time without a trip to Belfast.
Right.
Yeah.
Were there some people down here who didn't have cars?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Because you said there weren't as many cars.
Oh, I do know of some. I know that the Malm Cottage down here, the son was lost at the sea when during the Second World War, and his widow came down and with their daughter. And mother always took her up to Belfast, and the daughter, and there were other people around that we would give rides up to. When Marilyn was talking about Benning meeting this Dorothy Davis, who later was his wife here in Bayside, her mother and grandmother were here, both elderly, one very sickly, and we always used to make sure that they had enough provisions or what they needed or anything like that. So I'm sure that other people made sure that everybody was taken care of one way or another.
Yeah.
Generally, we only went to Belfast once a week. I mean, it was a big trip to go into Belfast.
Yeah.
You didn't go at the drop of a hat.
As
like
we go,
now.
Sometimes more than once
more
in
than
a
once
day.
More than once a day, yes.
Why am I doing this?
Yes, especially when you're looking for Beanie Babies. Which we found yesterday.
Oh, I'm so glad. I understand they're very popular.
Another thing down here, because the mail was delivered differently than what it is now, that used to be one of our big highlights of the day, is to go down to the store for the mail to come in, and you saw all your neighbors and all the people and all the friends, no matter whether you were dripping wet when you went in from rain, from walking down, because we walked everywhere.
Sure.
Or whether it was a nice day or just coming up from the beach. We used to leave all our things on the beach and come up for lunch.
Now, when you say the beach, where? Were you below Auditorium Park or down by the dock?
Well, mainly, we were a lot of down below Auditorium Park growing up as kids.
You know, when we were kids, we would go down and lay out on those big rocks down there.
And they had a more of a little beach down the other end than there is now.
But then as we grew older and had our kids, we gravitated to the beach over where they put the boats into the water. And that's where everybody would go.
Would go, okay.
One of the things that did entertain us at night, they used to have very good rival basketball games between the local fellows here in Bayside and Belfast. And when Amy's brother was here, he always played on the team, as several of the neighborhood felt their family no longer come down. Teddy Mason was across the street, and there was two or three others. And Belfast played against the Bayside, and there was some real good rival, good honest basketball games, and we all sat on the sidelines and had popcorn from the store and cheered our team on and all that. So that was, those evenings were very well attended.
Now, when you said the store, in that case, do you mean where the Blair Agency is now?
Yes.
And is that where you got your mail also?
Yes.
That was the post office.
Okay. Now, when the inn, was the inn full of people all the time? Or don't you remember it that way?
It was closed for a while there, wasn't it? Where we were actually growing up as kids. Maybe people came to stay, but I don't
remember it being a flourishing hotel.
Okay.
It may have been, but didn't Betty Chittick live in there?
Yeah, her mother, Betty Stoll, took over the management of the hotel, and she used to have some people come down and spend time there. Some of them were repeaters, but it was not as a flourishing hotel, so to speak. It was more people that would just have a place to stay that didn't have a cottage.
Right. Now, the big boats, you don't remember those.
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
Okay.
We remember, at least I do, I don't remember them stopping here.
Oh. Okay.
But when we were kids and were down at the beach at the foot of Auditorium Park, we would see that boat come across from Bangor, go over to Belfast, and then it would sail past us, and we always knew that was about the time to come up, because of the time schedule of the boat. And they used to blow their whistle going by once in a while, because people would stand on the dock kind of wave, but they weren't in that close. But that was when we were fairly young.
I don't remember.
Oh, yes, no. I can remember that. I can see it.
Well, you're older than I am.
That's why.
Right, no, I don't remember. I don't remember seeing the big boat.
No. Now, how about the wharf itself? Was that a place where people would hang out as they do today?
Always, yes. We'd go down there and we'd slather ourselves with baby oil and iodine and lay out there for hours in the sun, ruining our skin.
Thinking you were doing a great thing.
But nobody knew.
No,
that was the thing to do.
Yes.
Then it changed to olive oil and we all smelled like salads.
Oh, gosh. Was there a lifeguard in that era?
No.
So did parents go down with the smaller children and then...
Well, I think you generally, yes, if you...
Of course, they still did.
Yes,
still have
to. I think every parent set an age at which they allowed, and I think you had to be able to swim. And I can remember we were allowed to jump off the wharf, and one day Jeanette and I were down there, and she said, "I'll jump off the wharf if you do," and I said, "Okay," she said, "you go first." So I went, and she turned around and ran up the hill, "Mama, Mama!"
I don't recall that at all.
And you hadn't caught on by then,
I did then.
The power of the older sister. Yeah. My younger siblings have similar terrible stories that I deny about me. Or I just don't remember.
I came up, so from then on we were allowed to jump off the wharf.
We used to have, and I don't know now who organized them, the big... well, I don't know what you call them. They weren't festival days on the dock where we had, and we always entered into those. They had the greased watermelon that you had to get, the tub races where you were in the tub races, the swimming races, the diving expeditions, they were a big time when we had those off the dock.
And would this be associated with anything particular, like the 4th of July, or just...
It was more mid-season, I think, mm-hmm. when they got everybody down there. Mm-hmm. They had all sorts of races and games and things like that, more so than they do now, because those were water carnival, mostly, that they called them, but they did a lot of things on that, which we aren't able to do now.
Okay. Now, you've mentioned that you live quite close to the sailing school, and although you didn't attend it, what kind of memories do you have those days?
Well, it was basically in our backyard, so to speak, and the day that the kids would all come in from New Jersey for the sailing school, Jeanette and I would sit on the back steps and pick out what we thought were the cutest boys. I remember doing that.
Did the same kids come back from year to year?
Yes, a lot of them were back. Some mm-hmm. only came one time, but a lot of them came 3 or 4 years mm-hmm. in a row.
Mm-hmm. And how much supervision did it appear that they had when they were out there in boats?
Little to none, I suppose you might say. They had some. They had some sort of a routine they had to follow, but there were many times when they went out on these sailing trips and got lost out there, and mm-hmm. nobody seemed to care except the native people, who were frantic down on the shore waiting for them to come in. But lucky for Marion, she never lost anybody.
She was lucky, and of course their own parents weren't here to be wringing their hands.
No.
Well, one of the things about all they got to eat was peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and Kool-Aid that tasted like crepe paper, but just drawn through to make the color. So we used to give them, a few of them used to be.
Jeanette, you mentioned that the kids complained that all they got was peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
Yeah, they used to complain about that, and as I said, the Kool-Aid was quite weak. It was like crepe paper just drawn through for a little color. And sometimes the mother had made like American chop suey or something like that, and some of the kids were over. She'd always give them a dish of some of that, and we'd always give them some extra cookies or a piece of cake or something. And I can remember mother ironing some of their shirts, getting ready for this dance I told you about, and they used to like to sit on our back porch, hopefully that maybe more of the food might be around than what they are used to having at the sailing school. But they had fun.
How long did they stay?
Well, they were here probably, 6 weeks, I would say.
I would say it was a 6-week session.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about Islesboro. Did you ever go on day trips over there?
Oh, yes. They would have periodically a clam bake over there, and Captain Gooden would have his boat. Anybody who had a boat took their own boat over, but for those who did not have their own boat, he provided transportation.
For a fee?
I am sure there was a fee. I can't remember what it would have been, maybe 50 cents or something, I don't know, but I'm sure it covered his cost of gasoline, and I'm not sure during the war, did that stop when gas was scarce?
I can't remember unless people just donated for him. It may have stopped because there was a time, I think, that we were summers here without going over.
Right. Mm. But I used to think it was like going to the other end of the earth, and I always worried about getting seasick.
Did you ever, or was it just a worry?
No, just a worry, going out in that big ocean.
Sure. Now, what kind of a captain was Captain Gooden?
I don't know.
It was just his name.
That was just his name. He had this boat, and he was Captain Gooden.
And did he live here in Bayside? Did he have a cottage here?
Yes, I believe the cottage is now the one that Eugenie and Peter Allen were in. Mm-hmm. I may be mistaken on that, but mm-hmm. it's up in that area.
Mm-hmm. So that was an annual event going over to Osborne.
Right. I think they only did it once this summer, didn't they?
I think something like that. Mm-hmm. It wasn't mm-hmm. often because of the gas situation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, I've heard other people talk about spooky times up at the Pingree Estate, which is now Gene Evans. How did that work? Was that sort of sneaking up? Or?
Yes. Probably we were just around not knowing what to do when someone would suggest, let's see if we can get up to the top of the water tower. And of course that was quite a climb up to the top there, and you had to go up through the entrance of the Pingree Estate, and it was a long curving driveway with several wooded areas which kids would run ahead and hide behind the trees, and you hopefully wouldn't make any noise, but they liked to kind of boo out at you as if this was the owner of the place. And occasionally, someone did make it up and down before someone yelling out to get off the property, because uh-huh. it was private property.
We were not welcome guests.
No. Also, I think one of the challenges were, too, to see if they could get in and out of their swimming pool undetected, too.
Oh, that must have been a good one.
Yeah, it would be a hot night for that one.
Yeah.
It was mostly the boys that did it, and yes. the girls stood on the fringes and quivered.
They were expected to be more daring than right. girls, I guess, right. in those days.
Right.
Did you have curfews set by your family?
No. Maybe we did. Yeah. I don't know. It was...
I think for a while when we were the quite youngest, when all the streetlights came on, be back in the locale. Of course, the park in front of us was all open, and everybody could see. There were quite a few kids here. We used to play hide-and-seek an awful lot during the evening, and the parents liked to sit on the porch and just watch the whole affair and mm-hmm. and all. So there was no curfew per se that way, where the parents knew where we all were.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as being out around beyond our general house area, I think we were expected to be back at a reasonable time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about an era that's more than 50 years ago, more than half a century ago.
Oh my goodness,
yes.
So what do you feel are the things that are still the same now, and what are the things that are different?
Well, of course, the traffic, for one thing. There's a lot more people coming in. You don't know who they are.
How much is more people and how much is more cars, or is it both?
Well, I would say it's cars bringing the people.
Mm-hmm. A lot of us, have two cars. And
oh, well, yes. Yeah. But I'm thinking of outsiders. I'm not thinking of people who live here. I'm thinking of people you don't know who they are.
Was renting unknown at that time?
If it was rented, it was very, very few people that mm-hmm. did it. And I think, if anything, people rented to a friend or a relative.
Okay.
There was next to nothing as far as advertising.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one key difference then.
Yeah.
There are a lot more people now, and in your youth, you were more likely to know everybody.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
And there were no drugs.
No drugs, okay. Certainly. And are you including alcohol, or was that...
Well, yeah, I don't think that many people...
I think you got your older people that had their cocktail parties, because the golf club certainly had their parties, and people who attended those, you know, lived mostly locally, mm-hmm. for some, a lot of Belfast. But I think there was... Some of the adults enjoyed their cocktails at night, but it was not a public
mm-hmm.
display of alcohol, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. I guess I was thinking more of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
Kids
yeah.
were not drinking beer.
No.
Okay.
I mean, they just didn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I never remember seeing any of them smoke.
No, and you know, I don't think basically any of us were thinking of any sexual activity at all. That was just not thought of, as far as I was concerned, and all our group of kids, nothing was ever approached her.
So do you think this is just because this was just an example of, would you say the age of innocence lasted longer when you were young than it does now?
I think so.
The things that you were first thinking about when you were 20, maybe kids think about now when they're
10.
Well, I think the movies and definitely the TV is a good way of that they've learned a lot faster than we ever did.
Right. Okay, so it certainly sounds like a simpler, more
wholesome
era. Now, on the other hand, a lot of the things seem the same. The kids still can run free in a safe place, have so much more opportunity to be outdoors and not have their parents have to be concerned. That
friendliness is certainly very prevalent here, as it always was.
Community spirit, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think that the renters that come in, they're looking for this type of vacation. Right. If they wanted something more active, then they would have chosen another area.
Definitely. So we do mostly attract people like ourselves who want what we have.
Family quality people.
And I think people who once come to Bayside fall in love with it.
I think so, too.
And it has a uniqueness that not many places have.
Right. And it does bring people back, and people who have had the pleasure of growing up here want to share it with their own children.
That's true, and I think the families that are here who bring their families in get that sort of ingrained in them so that they come back as families with their families, and this is what creates the generations that keep returning.
And that's a nice thing to see.
I think it's a very important thing.
Yeah, I do too. Mm-hmm. Why don't you each tell me what kind of work you did in your grown-up lives? You mentioned working in Bangor, but I don't know what you did.
Okay. First of all, when I got out of high school, I worked for a Liberty Mutual Insurance Company in Boston. And then I was home most of the time when my children came along. Then when we moved up to Bangor in 1967, I went to work at Eastern Maine Medical Center, which is the second largest hospital in the state of Maine, and is still growing tremendously. I started in working in just helping out the administration office with printing, and went to help out with the development of the rehabilitation unit, worked for that doctor in typing up the grants and all that, and then went for a few years in administration in the office itself. And then in 1973, I started working for the new nephrologists that came into Bangor for the dialysis unit, and I stayed with him until I retired in February of 1992.
Okay, I think a lot of people in Bayside, when they hear your name, will associate it with your work with the Northport Village Corporation, so why don't you mention that as well?
Yes, I've been clerk of the Northport Village Corporation, and I think it was somewhere between 1984 and 1985 when I started in that. And they called me up again yesterday, and I said yes again for another year.
Now, what are some of your duties in that job?
Of course, to take all the minutes of the meetings, post notices when the minutes are going to be held, get the notices in the newspaper of the annual meeting or any special meeting. During this water thing, was chasing around getting the signatures of the overseers for numerous pieces of paper material, all going to from one direction of another with these attorneys and all the different people that were involved in the project, and just general secretarial.
And clearly you do a good job, because they keep begging you to continue.
It's been kind of fun being in on the ground rules.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And since Dick isn't here to speak for himself, but there aren't many things he hasn't had a finger in, why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Well, Dick is not a meeting person as far as doing administration things. He loves hand-on things. So he has been quite active in doing a few jobs around here. Bill Page is not a carpenter, and he's not a painter, and that is not under his job description, so to speak. So he has taken over for several of these things, like on the dock, painting the dock, and painting, getting things done. And he's now, I think at this point, at the community hall, building the room for the Historical Society to have, as he built the room for the overseers to have up there. Also, he helped put the board up for the Bayside one, and we have someone who's called him here and there. He just finished painting landlord's trim on his place, and people have just asked him to do some of these products around, which he likes to be busy.
Well, he certainly has the reputation of being the man you can call when you want something done, and it gets done.
That is one of his things. If there's something to be done, do it and get it over with. He doesn't like those things hanging on his head, so he likes to get the job done, and he will chase after the people to get them.
So, let me ask you, what are some of the things that you have done since you were a girl in Bayside?
Well, primarily my whole professional career was in the insurance business. And I also started at Liberty Mutual in Boston, but I didn't work in the same building that Jeanette did. And then I worked there for 3 years and moved to New York and worked for the insurance company in North America until I had my children.
What city were you in there?
I was in White Plains, New York. And then when I had children, I stayed home until I went back to work in 1972, and I worked for John Deere Insurance Company as a senior claim rep until I retired in 1992.
So that's a long and...
That's it. Now yeah. I'm busy in retirement.
So many people say they're busier than...
I don't know how I ever had time to work. Busy in the church. I'm busy with the grandchildren.
Do they live near enough to you to see them?
My daughter lives in the same town.
Great. You're very lucky. You are too.
She has two children.
Mm-hmm.
So I do a lot of child looking after. They don't really need a babysitter per se now, but they still need supervision.
And the kind of supervision a grandmother can provide is a lot more...
My husband is still working, so... He owns his own business and will probably never retire.
What is his field?
He's a marine contractor.
Mm-hmm.
Works on the Mississippi River and all over the United States doing big-time jobs.
So you're both the kind of busy, high-energy women that attracted the same kind of man.
Yeah.
You're not going to be ready for your rocking chairs for another few decades.
I do a lot of reading, a lot of covered cross-stitch.
Mm-hmm. As does Jen.
Keeps me busy.
Great. Well, thank you both very much for taking the time to talk to us.
Oh, you're welcome.
Pleasure.
Probably
anytime we talk about Bayside, it's a pleasure.
And we don't run out of things to say.